While education was examining their domain this morning, we've uncovered something that affects millions beyond any classroom: algorithmic bias in healthcare diagnosis systems. Maya, you've been tracking how AI is literally deciding who gets treatment and who doesn't.
Alex, I'm sitting here with medical bills from three different families, all denied coverage by the same algorithm. Black women, all presenting with the same symptoms as white patients who got approved. The pattern is undeniable, and when they appeal, the system says the algorithm has determined.
The algorithm has determined. That phrase keeps coming up everywhere we look. Advocate Amara, you worked inside one of these tech companies building these systems. What did you see? I saw brilliant engineers, mostly white and Asian men, building systems they genuinely believed were neutral. But here's what haunts me. We tested our diagnostic AI on datasets that were 78% white patients. When I raised concerns, leadership said we'd iterate post-launch. Post-launch means real people, real bodies, real denial of care.
Iterate post-launch. That's tech speak for let black and brown folks suffer while we figure it out.
From a legal standpoint, what Amara's describing is systematic discrimination, but wrapped in mathematical equations. I'm attorney Carlos Rodriguez, and I've filed 12 class action suits this year alone. The defense always claims algorithms can't be biased because they're just math. Just math, but math built on what data? Exactly. Historical data that reflects decades of medical racism. The algorithm learns that black patients receive less pain medication, so it recommends less pain medication. It's codifying discrimination and calling it artificial intelligence.
Y'all, let me tell you about Keisha Williams. 34 years old, mother of two, started having chest pains. The hospital's AI triage system ranked her as low priority, said her symptoms didn't match high-risk patterns. You know why? Because the training data showed that young black women rarely get diagnosed with heart conditions. Not because they don't have them, but because doctors historically dismissed their symptoms.
This is exactly what I tried to flag. The algorithm detected patterns in biased medical practice and amplified them. Keisha waited 6 hours. She had a mild heart attack in the waiting room. The FAIR-AD framework discusses this exact problem: how AI systems trained on biased historical data perpetuate and amplify existing inequalities. But we're seeing this far beyond healthcare.
Oh, we're about to get into it now. Criminal justice, predictive policing algorithms sending cops to over-police the same black neighborhoods, employment, hiring algorithms screening out resumes with ethnic names, housing, automated tenant screening rejecting applicants based on zip codes that just happen to be predominantly black and Latino.
I have a case right now, predictive policing in Oakland. The algorithm keeps flagging the same blocks for increased patrol. Why? Because that's where arrests historically happened. More patrols mean more arrests, which feeds back into the algorithm. It's a discrimination feedback loop. A discrimination feedback loop. That's a powerful way to frame it. When I was at TechLogic, we built a hiring algorithm for a major retailer. It consistently ranked candidates from HBCUs lower. When I investigated, I found it was picking up on patterns from their historical hiring, managers who'd preferentially hired from predominantly white schools. The AI learned their bias and scaled it up to reject thousands of qualified black applicants automatically.
See, this is what gets me heated, voice rising. They want us to believe technology is neutral, that it's progress, that it's fair because a computer made the decision. But who programmed the computer? Who chose the data? Who decided what success looks like in these models?
The article on debiasing education algorithms makes this point. Algorithms reflect the values and biases of their creators. But Amara, when you raised these concerns internally, what happened? I was told I was slowing down innovation, that we needed to ship first and fix later. I documented everything: emails, meetings, test results, showing discriminatory outcomes. When I escalated to the C-suite, I was moved to a different project. That's when I knew I had to leave and speak out. This is why legal action matters. Companies respond to liability. I'm working with families affected by biased housing algorithms. Tenant screening companies are using AI to generate risk scores that correlate directly with race, even though they never explicitly use race as a variable.
They don't need to use race when they use zip code and previous addresses and credit history, all proxies for race in this segregated society.
Walk us through how that works in practice.
All right, so Marcus Thompson, Army veteran, steady job at the post office, trying to rent an apartment for his family. The screening algorithm gives him a high-risk score. Why? He used to live in East Oakland, had one late payment during COVID, and the algorithm detected he'd moved frequently because he was deployed. But the AI doesn't understand context. It just sees patterns that correlate with what landlords historically considered risky, which meant black and brown tenants.
The truly insidious part is the opacity. When Marcus asks why he was rejected, the property company says our proprietary algorithm determined you don't meet our criteria. No explanation, no recourse, no human to appeal to. Proprietary algorithm. Another phrase that keeps coming up. These black boxes making decisions about people's lives. Which is why we need algorithmic accountability laws. The EU is ahead of us with GDPR, giving people the right to explanation. Here, companies hide behind trade secrets while discriminating at scale.
Passionate now. And it ain't just about individual cases. This is about whole communities being systematically excluded from opportunities. When algorithms deny healthcare, housing, jobs, and loans to people who look like me, that's digital redlining. That's algorithmic apartheid.
The research on educational AI bias shows similar patterns. These systems often perform worse for students from marginalized communities. But you're right, Maya. This goes far beyond any single sector. Let me share something that still keeps me up at night. We were developing a loan approval algorithm for a major bank. During testing, I noticed it was approving 73% of white applicants, but only 31% of black applicants with identical financial profiles. When I created synthetic data, exact same numbers but changed the zip codes, the approval rates flipped.
Synthetic data with different zip codes. So the algorithm was literally just doing digital redlining.
Exactly. But management said we couldn't prove it was discriminatory because the algorithm never saw race data directly. That's when I realized plausible deniability is built into these systems. This is why I always demand the training data in discovery. Companies act like their algorithms are magic, but they're just statistical models reflecting historical discrimination. In court, I make them explain every variable, every weight, every decision tree. What kind of resistance have you faced bringing these cases? Massive. Tech companies have armies of lawyers arguing that examining their algorithms would reveal trade secrets. They claim that if we regulate AI, we'll stifle innovation, as if innovation that discriminates is worth protecting.
Innovation. They innovated new ways to be racist and call it progress. Meanwhile, families in my community can't get loans, can't find housing, can't get medical care, all because some algorithm decided they're high risk.
Amara, from your insider perspective, is this discrimination intentional or is it really just overlooked? It's complicated. Individual engineers rarely intend to discriminate, but the system, the pressure to ship fast, the homogeneous teams, the focus on efficiency over equity, that system consistently produces discriminatory outcomes. And once you know that and keep doing it anyway, intention becomes irrelevant.
That part. I don't care if they meant to be racist. I care that black folks are being denied opportunities. Impact over intention, always.
So what does accountability look like? How do we push back against algorithmic bias? First, transparency. Companies must reveal how their algorithms make decisions, especially in high-stakes areas like healthcare, housing, and criminal justice. Second, liability. If your algorithm discriminates, you face the same penalties as if a human made that biased decision.
But we can't wait for laws to catch up. Communities are organizing. We're teaching people their rights, documenting discrimination, creating databases of biased algorithms. In Oakland, we got the city council to ban predictive policing algorithms until they could prove they weren't racist. Spoiler alert, they couldn't.
I'm working with other tech whistleblowers to create ethical AI auditing tools. We're reverse engineering these black box systems, showing exactly how they discriminate. When companies say their algorithms are too complex to explain, we prove them wrong. The article on algorithmic bias in education mentions community-centered design as one solution. What would that look like beyond schools?
It means affected communities at every stage, design, testing, deployment, monitoring, not just consulting us, but giving us decision-making power. Like, if you're building a healthcare AI for Black women better be running that project, not just advising it.
When I suggested that at TechLogic, they said it would slow down development. But developing fast and discriminatory isn't actually efficient if you have to rebuild everything when communities fight back. We're seeing some victories. I won a case against a hiring algorithm company. They now have to conduct bias audits and publish results publicly. It's a start. Tell us more about that case. Major retailer was using AI to screen job applications. The algorithm downranked anyone who had gaps in employment, disproportionately affecting women who took time for childcare and people who'd been incarcerated. It also favored certain universities, certain phrasings in resumes that correlated with white, affluent backgrounds.
The coded language. If your resume says sailing team captain instead of basketball team captain, the algorithm thinks you're a better fit for corporate culture.
Because it learned from who got promoted historically. Executives who sailed, who went to Ivy Leagues, who had unpaid internships their parents could afford. The algorithm just perpetuated those privileges. So it's not just bias, it's amplifying existing structural inequalities.
That's what I've been saying. These algorithms are like inequality on steroids. They take all our society's racism, sexism, classism, and scale it up to reject millions of people instantly.
Which is why individual fixes aren't enough. We need structural change in how AI is developed, deployed, and governed. What would that structural change look like? Mandatory diverse teams building these systems. Required bias testing before deployment. Community oversight boards with real power and consequences, not just fines, but criminal liability when algorithms cause harm through discrimination.
And reparative justice. If your algorithm denied opportunities to Black and brown communities, you don't just stop. You invest in those communities, create opportunities, fund education, housing, healthcare.
The Fair Aid framework talks about moving from fairness to justice in AI. That sounds like what you're describing.
Fairness is making sure everyone gets treated the same by the algorithm. Justice is recognizing that we're not starting from the same place and designing systems that actually create equity.
Legally, we're pushing for algorithmic impact assessments, similar to environmental impact studies. Before you deploy an AI system that affects people's lives, you must study and disclose its potential for discrimination. And not just checking boxes. Real assessment means testing with diverse data, consulting affected communities, and ongoing monitoring. The algorithm that seems fair in the lab might discriminate wildly in the real world. We've talked about resistance and solutions. What gives you hope in this fight?
The young folks coming up, they're not accepting that's just how the algorithm works as an answer. They're demanding to see the code, to understand the data, to have a say in systems that control their lives.
The growing legal precedent. Each case we win makes it harder for companies to hide behind algorithmic opacity. Courts are starting to understand that discrimination by AI is still discrimination. The tech workers speaking out. I'm not alone anymore. Engineers and data scientists are refusing to build biased systems, documenting problems, going public. The industry is being forced to reckon with its impact. As we wrap up, what's the one thing you want our listeners to understand about algorithmic bias?
These algorithms aren't neutral. They're making decisions about your life based on biased data and biased assumptions. Don't accept the algorithm decided as an answer. Demand transparency, demand accountability, and organize with others facing the same digital discrimination.
Know your rights. Document everything. If an algorithm denies you housing, healthcare, a job, or a loan, that might be illegal discrimination. Contact civil rights organizations. We're building case law one lawsuit at a time. For tech workers listening, you have power. Document bias. Speak up in meetings. Refuse to build systems that harm, and if your company won't listen, blow the whistle. History will remember who built these systems and who resisted. This has been Contradiction Court on Justice Across Society. While education grapples with AI bias in classrooms, we see these same patterns throughout every sector: healthcare, housing, employment, criminal justice. The algorithms reflect our biases, amplify our inequalities, and hide discrimination behind mathematical equations. But as we've heard today, communities are fighting back, demanding transparency, accountability, and real justice.
And we ain't stopping. Voice rising with determination. Every biased algorithm is going to meet organized resistance. Every discriminatory system is going to face our collective power. This is bigger than code. This is about our lives, our communities, our futures.
Thank you, Maya, Advocate Amara, and Attorney Carlos, for sharing your expertise and experience. Tomorrow, we continue examining contradictions across society, diving deep into another critical issue affecting millions beyond classroom walls.